Good morning. Welcome to our Thursday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Dearborn Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. If you're a regular follower of the live broadcast, running a little bit late this morning, and been having a busy week for a while, but got late start and a variety of things. My computer went down out of power outage yesterday. It took a while to get it back up, but we're here. And we've been talking and praying this week about various things that God says His Word is powerful for. It's useful. And it's useful not simply to get by, but it's useful in a good way. And it's what it's designed for. And today we're going to focus in on it being powerful for correction. And it kind of follows up yesterday's topic and discussion about rebuking. But this kind of takes it that next step. When God's Word rebukes us, points out where we're wrong, then we also need to use it to correct what's wrong. And Job 5:17 says, "Blessed is the person whom God corrects, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty." You read the book of Job and his story, and you discover that there's this battle going on where Satan is questioning not only God, but Job's love for God. And Satan brings about a variety of calamities and the disasters upon Job and his family, convinced that if Job had trouble, he wouldn't like God so much. And Job continues to trust God. And when those around him begin to question why he does what he does, he continually trusts God. When he reaches the point that even his wife says to just curse God and die, get this over with, he continues to trust God. And throughout this process, he will maintain God's goodness and God's justice. And while he's described as a righteous man, he makes it clear that there are things that he may not even be aware of that are not what they should be. And when his children would gather and celebrate, he would sacrifice to God the next day on behalf of them because perhaps they had sinned. And we reach today's text and we find that this recognition, this statement, this useful scripture that tells us that we're blessed. We ought to be very happy when God corrects us because it shows us His love. One of the things about good correction, and again, we're talking about correction, and sometimes it looks a lot like punishment, especially as children. I did not understand the concept of discipline and correction when I was a child. I simply thought that I was being punished for doing wrong. My parents understood discipline and correction. And so what I took as punishment was really training me, correcting me, challenging me to be a better version of myself than what I was at that moment. And I think it worked. But if we go about life as an uncorrected person, then we continually spiral downhill into a very selfish and entitled person. I don't think it takes very long of looking around the nation that we live in, the world that we live in, to see what happens when we don't accept the correction of God, when we don't accept godly correction from anyone. And so we live life knowing that God's word is powerful, it's useful, it's designed to correct our behavior, to correct our thoughts, to correct our attitudes. Back when I was a young adult, my first experience with church camp was as an adult faculty member. Did not have the opportunity to go as a child, and we would go up to Lake James, and the camp property sat upon Lake James. And it was always that neat thing at campfire time, because you were sitting at around a campfire right on the lake, and throughout the evening, and you kind of learned that whenever somebody would yell attitude check, your response was to yell out as loud as possible in unison with everyone around you, praise the Lord, and get dead silent as soon as you finished that last word. Because you could hear the echo of praise the Lord come back over the lake. And it was always that time where you would sit and you would work and you would be very diligent about being silent as quickly as possible so that you could count how many times it echoed. And God's word is designed to correct us, to be that attitude check, so that we learn to be godly individuals. And God says when we desire correction, we become a happier person, a more blessed person, and not so much so that we necessarily gain financially or we gain stuff because we're accepting correction, but we become a contented person. God says we all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. We need, every one of us needs correction at one time or another and at multiple times in others. And when God's word is the basis for correction, then we ought to accept it with a contentment and a happiness that we are becoming more like Jesus. The Bible says that the Lord disciplines those that He loves, and that we can know that we are His children by the discipline we receive. And we live life. Not only does it improve who we are, but it becomes that mark that we belong. I grew up in an era where it wasn't all that unusual for a close circle of families to discipline one another's children. It was an agreed upon concept that parents who interacted on a regular basis understood that their children needed discipline. And if they weren't there to provide the correction, then it was suitable and appropriate and advantageous for somebody else to do it. But that's not typically the normal way of life, especially if there's not a relationship, if you don't belong into that circle, for a stranger to come and discipline your children. And God says, He's not a stranger. You belong as His child. And part of the stamp of knowing that is that He corrects you. As I've said with a lot of these things, and I mentioned Sunday as well, in the message is, one of the difficulties with some of these traits and characteristics of God's word is we have a tendency to begin, or not even begin, but stay on using them and applying them to others, and never even considering how they apply to us. We read that and we discover that God's word is useful for correction, and automatically we begin to think of all of the people that we know that need correction. And we begin to think, well, so-and-so should have heard that. So-and-so needs to hear that. And that may or may not be true, that they need it, they should hear it. And God's desire as brothers and sisters in Christ is that we would use God's word well in correcting one another. But first, we use it for our own correction. We accept the correction of God in our life. We put it into practice. We get a feel for how it works. Often tell people when they comment about the sermons and messages and that I prepare them for myself. It's a message that I need to hear, that I need to apply in my life, and that way I know that at least one person in the audience ought to be getting something out of it. Now, God's word is bigger than that and is broader than that, and I realize that it's God's Spirit that uses it to impact the lives of everyone that hears. Not because I'm so good at it, but because God's Spirit is so effective. And in that context, God's Word provides correction because I'm willing to accept the correction. And when we become what the Bible would describe as stiff-necked people and unwilling to be corrected, we lose credibility in the correction we think needs to happen in the lives of others. And so today we gaze deeply into God's Word. And each day that we live, we continue to gaze deeply into God's Word and find that it is powerful for correcting all of the things in our life that need to move towards being more like Jesus. And we use God's word to correct. And in doing so, we become a better representative of who Jesus is. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has called us to yourself, and your love desires for us to be more like Jesus every day that we live. And because of your great love, you discipline us, you correct us, and you use the people of your family. You use each one of us to correct one another, but you do so through the power of your word, and you do so with us. And Father, as much as we may like the idea of you correcting others, it's my prayer today that we allow you to begin with us. That we don't close ourselves off to accepting your correction. It's not that you don't. You correct us through your word and through your spirit on a daily basis. It's not always that we accept that and we do anything about it. And so God, today may we spend time in your word and accept the correction that you give. Maybe it's correcting our thoughts or our attitudes or actions, the way we treat others, the way we share, the way we give, the way we love. Maybe it's the way we forgive or don't forgive. Father, your word continually talks about the various aspects of us doing life and how it looks when we do it like Jesus. And may we see the differences and understand your desire to correct us so that we become more like him. And Father, as we learn to accept the blessings of the correction of your word, the power that it has to bring about those changes that are needed in our life, may we look inwardly and invite you to do the work that only you can do. And Father, may our life be an example of the power of correction. And may we use your word well in conducting the correction that we need and in helping others see the correction that your word calls them to. And Father, as we go about life knowing the power of correction of your word, may we accept that correction in such a way that we lift up Jesus very effectively, so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Thursday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.